Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Johnny came to me yesterday. He goes, I was hoping to get in touch with you because I have another internship that I'll be working at as well. So let's split that time. And I said, whatever you want, Johnny. It's your oyster.
Oh,
your world.
You know what? B+.
B+. Hey, Johnny.
B+.
Way to go. Hope now you made the other people happy. B+ for you, you smart ass.
And you should know, Mike, when I was younger, I was obsessed with Chernobyl. As a younger man.
That's normal. The thing about Treg Monty, Mike, is that prior to his career in acting, he worked for over 20 years in real estate.
You know what? Okay. I bet it was a successful career.
And he resides in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Oh.
And he is a registered Republican.
Yes!
Okay.
Balance.
You know, if it happens to get into politics.
So we can get him for this show or political persuasions.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
You look perfect.
No. I
good mirror, that monitor.
Yeah.
My hair is changing. That's what the issue is.
It looks a little like Steve Coogan and Stan and Ollie, but not much.
Poof.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't know what to do. I think this is an issue of combing it the way I used to after I get out of the shower and
Will you try something for me? Do this. Right, take your headphones off. And then put them on your forehead and then drag them back. And maybe they'll hold your hair down.
You mean like that?
Yeah, and then pull it back. That, you see? Huh?
No, it looks like you're wearing a women's hairband.
Well, that's what I was shooting for.
You're not a friend.
A hairband like a woman's hairband.
I have to go. Like I don't want to go. I've got to go to my daughter's graduation this weekend. I don't want to go to a barber.
Well, it's a risk if you do that.
You kind of look like the guy from the Perkins commercial right now.
This is the stuff that they don't get.
It does.
I have his name, by the way. I have
it. Look, all right, so then I put this to
Treg. He looks like Treg Monty.
Treg Monty.
Sweet.
Perkins.
Oh, is what's his name? Hold on a second. Wait. Now, let me. All right, back to your screen now. Do we have
Treg Monty?
Do we have the name of the guy in the Perkins commercial?
Treg is his first name.
A real man.
Treg Monty entered the career of acting at age 50.
Okay.
And we've been
sweet.
We have reached out to his representation, hope to have an answer about whether he'll be joining us within the day.
There are not that many layers of representation.
No.
Well, no.
But you know how a lot of times if you go to IMDb, you'll get like an attorney and voice work and all the. Treg just has a
this man is a diamond in the rough. Mike, you found a star.
You did.
Well, I'm sorry. These commercials are going to be iconic. And they're going to be because this commercial, in my humble opinion,
it'll grow bigger than Perkins itself.
It conveys, for those of you that don't have these fabulous eateries, they're the equivalent of Denny's if you have Denny's in your neighborhood.
Well, but it's Denny's plus superior baked goods.
Pie.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want, you know what? Don't make me like run down the sponsor because then we won't get the guy on the show. Okay. Superior is
it's like the Cheesecake Factory. Not all the cheesecake is perfect, but they offer a lot.
They do. Cookies.
Do you have have you been to a Perkins, Rob?
I have never been to a Perkins. I've heard of them.
Do they have Perkins in Arizona?
WVU.
Oh, WVU.
If you really want to impress the ladies in the morning, you say, why don't we go to Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted
24/7.
To go. I wanted to go when he was hosting a podcast on our network, but I never got a chance to go to his restaurant.
Tony's place.
Tony Perkins.
All right, let me just say this.
Hey, Tony.
It's a Denny's. It's a it's an eatery. It's like one of those family restaurants. It's a family restaurant.
And it has family restaurant.
Family.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
it's a family restaurant. Yeah. And they do sell pies.
Yes.
With a smoking hot wait staff, male and female.
Just like the Price is Right models?
No.
WVU, Mike, it was all college students.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, that's kind of what some of the places are down here near FGC.
And
The
girl who co-stars with Treg Monty is quite attractive.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that she's obviously an actress.
Yes.
So What Treg is a 50-plus actor
Treg.
Who does these commercials where he just shows up and he's kind of... And the first one we noticed that I brought your attention to, which Carl and I literally stopped.
Yes.
Literally. And went back and watched is, what do you think you're going to have? I think I'll have a burger, fries, and some pie. And she says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, well, bring the pie first. And he does it in a real sexy way. And then it's just like, well, this is an interesting way. What are they going for? What are you doing? What?
I wanted to tell you about Treg's most recent film work.
Yes.
He played the president of the United States.
Can you just communicate with us nicely and then you'll get to your thing.
I wasn't going to say, and then you, Treg is.
Yeah, well, Mike is giving us his origin story.
I'm setting up the whole thing.
Me. I didn't want to interrupt.
I know, but you're going... Like noticeably, one of the, all right, we'll get to that in a minute.
All right,
we need an intervention.
You were saying, Mike.
So anyway, so Treg comes in and they have this dynamic on the Perkins commercials of sexual tension.
Yeah,
at least the way I see it, between the older customer and the very young, attractive waitress, and then they double down on it with their next commercial, which I think is about strawberry waffles.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Sweet strawberries," and he looks at the waffles and he goes. Sweet. And he's this guy that's a very energetic,
youthful,
like, but gray as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
Gray hair, gray beard, gray, not gray skin. Get a lot of that down here too.
Yeah.
Who's and, the actor, Mike, that
he's like the Dos Equis guy, Oscar.
But for Perkins.
Yeah,
yes.
He's the Perkins most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect.
He's fascinating.
He is like a sexier Bill Devane. He has that sort of energy.
Who is
of a
Bill Devane?
He always plays the president or Kennedy. He was on 24.
William Devane was on 24 as the president.
Okay.
And he was the, where I said, hello, Jack. That's the guy. He's got giant teeth. All right, now your movie thing.
All right.
You've just been chomping to get on.
He got back from Beijing, China. Where he shot a movie called Pegasus on the Brink. But here's what's fascinating. He's also the voice of the Perkins radio campaign. And he calls his character the man.
All right.
He's the man.
I'm not really that familiar with the radio campaign, but I just think that
the
this
man.
Commercial has a novelty quality to it. And Rob, you suggested yesterday we should go and get him. And now you've reached out to his representation.
Yeah, Treg's.
And we'll discuss the Treg's representation. And
he only began acting in 2013. He's a relative newcomer to the scene.
He's like Danny Aiello, who started when he was like 44.
Mm-hmm. Who's Barbara Streisand's husband?
James Brolin.
That's James Brolin. He looks like James Brolin.
Yes, that's who I was like, is that a cousin?
Yes, he looks like James
brother?
Brolin.
A
cousin.
Yep, he looks like James Brolin.
Your first thing, first looks question like. When you
I was like,
on the
is
show?
That Bab's husband?
Are you cousins to James Brolin?
Is Treg, is it spelled T-R-E-G?
Yes.
Treg.
Treg.
That is a strong male name.
Yeah.
I'm on
right,
his
you know
IMDb
what my goal
page.
Is? All right, here's my, that's a goal. I'm going to look at Treg as an older guy, and I'm that's the, you know, because he is super fit.
Yes.
He is super fit.
Oh,
I mean, I know how guys look down here when they're super. He's got a very Florida vibe to him. Total Florida vibe
but
to him.
It's a type of guy that he doesn't have to wear a polo that's fitted, but he can.
That's the thing. Yeah. And, you know, and that's
you
what
fitted
I call
guys
fantasy
out there,
land.
If you're in the middle,
right?
You know how that feels. Now, I'm not in the middle anymore, but I used to be.
You used to be in the middle. Okay.
Yes.
And I've never been in the middle. I've never been close to the end. That's with me, you know, really. I was sitting there. I caught my reflection in a window yesterday sitting out on a porch.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'd say, oh, all right. Sit up, Diaz. But anyway.
You didn't have a towel over your shoulder. You were fine.
No, it was nasty. All right.
The thing about Treg Monty, Mike, is that prior to his career in acting, he worked for over 20 years in real estate.
You know what?
Oh, okay.
I bet it was a successful career.
And he resides in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Oh,
and he is a registered Republican.
Yes.
Okay. You know, if it happens to get into politics,
so we can get him for this show or political persuasions.
When it comes back on,
is that Republican pie?
Yes. I'll have a burger, fries, and our orange present.
It's
9 o'clock in the morning. All right, then I'll have. Pete Buttigieg.
It's Geo peanut butter pie.
Geo
there you
pie.
Go. By the way, did you see the, speaking of politics, and when it's funny, we mention it, Did you see that the husband of Meghan McCain went off on Seth Meyers because he was, I guess, rough on her?
In an interview.
No. I didn't know she was married.
All I know is that he got in a lot of trouble because he, you know, she's his wife. And he felt his wife was mistreated. So he went off on Seth Meyers. And the only thing I can tell you, Oscar's bringing up the tweet that
I'm bringing up.
That everybody's talking. It's since been deleted. I love that. That, by the way, if you want me to go deep into a story, tell me something since been deleted. That's when I go, okay, if it's bad enough.
Because so when you delete a tweet, it goes away.
Yes. And Seth Meyers was disagreeing with her about, you know, politics. She's very right. He's very left. And Seth Meyers was doing this on the show. And then afterwards.
He called him a cuck.
Yeah.
Oh, no, did he?
Yeah.
That's of all low rent things to call someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
Did you read the part about it? He said the only reason he was successful on Saturday Night Live is because he gargled Lorne Michaels.
Oh,
no, this is here he goes. I see. Okay, this is from Ben.
This is a guy getting so mad.
This
it
is
makes
from
me laugh.
Ben Dominich. I guess that's how we pronounce it.
Okay.
I see that at Seth Meyers, the untalented piece of shit who only has his job because he regularly gargled Lorne Michaels' balls when after my wife tonight with his idiotic anti-Semitic bullshit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you're calling
somebody. Sorry, Pony.
When you're calling somebody anti-Semitic, you want to bring the homophobia.
Yes.
It's just somebody who just doesn't know where the lines are. And he works for, I think he runs the Federalist or
that
something.
That sounds
like
a mixture of extreme anger, temper, and maybe about four drinks.
And gargling you know what.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, time and place, sir. Time and place.
Yeah, and like, don't attack a guy.
You say that in private. Maybe on the street of like Hoboken when you're hammered.
And I don't think Seth didn't do that. Chris Kattan, maybe. But not
on
Seth.
One leg.
it would be a legitimate criticism about Chris Kattan. No. Seth Meyers is funny. And he's been funny for a long time. He was funny on Weekend Update. And he was funny as a writer. So shut up, dude. But, he's defending his wife. That's honorable, I suppose.
I guess.
So we will try to get. What would Treg be short for?
I was trying to think. It's not
what's
on his IMDb
name?
Page. Monty.
What if he goes by TM?
TM. Oh, Trey Monty.
TM.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll try to get him. It'll be interesting.
It might be short for Treginald.
I would. Thank you. I would really like to. Thank you for that. Thank you for shoehorning that in there. I would really, really like. What?
I was just trying to think of what it could be. Okay. It was bothering me.
Reginald? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Trigonometry.
Better.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening here.
Do you have your TI-81? I need to do my trigonometry.
Trigonometry. I would really, really like to. I think I saw the last one last night watching my very last episode of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, the last?
Did they cancel it?
Yeah. They had a lady from Centerville, Virginia on last night who worked at a winery that I think I went to, Battlefield Winery.
Was she
but I said to Carla, that's it. It's the middle of the week. I'm done. Jeopardy gives us James Holzhauer, has the potential in the design of a game to offer something really unique and special, and there's a little bit of growth. I have been watching this show for probably 6 months regularly, where I don't watch it every night, but I watch it most nights. And I said, I'm done. I'm done with the $36,000 prize every single time they spin the bonus wheel. I'm done with the Q's, the W's, the X's, and all that your puzzle makers try to do in the final bonus spin is try to, hoodwink the contestants. And I'm done with the whole boring patter of Pat Zajac talking about his 7,000th episode with the same joke every night. That is, you want to talk about, if that was a radio show, they wouldn't be talking at 7,000. Then Guinness Book of World Records comes out and gives Pat the award for the longest serving host.
Well, that's nonsense.
And so,
who cares?
Well, I'm sure he did, but vanilla. It's beyond vanilla. It's not even. Do something. Make it a little bit more exciting where you can get a really big win. Make it more like a slot machine.
What if they had. The thing about Jeopardy that's so great is there's essentially a plot arc. Because the person can.
And you can get a James Holzhauer, too.
So should they have people that defend the title every night on.
No,
Wheel?
I don't know what they did. It's not my job to create.
I got it. Pat Sajak should get kidney stones.
Probably he's had them already, I would imagine. That's
but they
it.
Should make
I'm just
it
saying,
public.
Here, this is legit. This is my legitimate criticism.
Yes.
It's always the bonus,
right?
All right?
Because the regular stuff, are there too many bankrupts? Yeah, there are too many bankrupts.
I hate bankrupts.
Where chance trumps skill quite often, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Right.
I think the most skilled competitor should be the winner instead of where you could hear Pat Sajak loving that. And I just said, this is like the same thing every night. And then what do they get? It's like, oh, here's what you got. 36 grand. That's their allotted thing, and they never pay out, and it sucks. So I'm done. I'm not watching.
And the structure of the game has gotten too junky, I think.
Yeah,
there's like the quick rounds and the fast things, and they always get half a car. You never really get
half a car.
Half a car. You don't get one
car. The $1 million is between the two bankrupts, and when they get that, you know they got a snowball's chance and poo of getting that. You know, it's not going to happen. And by the way, for those of you that want to send me a message that said, snowball's chance in hell, Mike. I know that. I just said snowball's chance in poo to keep it fresh.
Something they should try at Wheel.
Yeah.
This is what you have to love. On Jeopardy.com, the main banner at the top of the website, it says, it's time for Teachers Tournament, May 6th through 17th. And right under it, even larger, James Holzhauer's Epic Streak continues May 20th.
Yeah.
They know where the bread is buttered. They don't care about the teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hang in there, Alex. Battling
their teachers. No one cares about
cancer right now. I hope he hangs in there because it's terrific. But you watch the teachers, and I can't do anything now but compare contestants to James Holzhauer.
Boring.
And you see the teachers that are just like going, B-b-b-b-b. It's really amazing.
There is one looker. And she
a teacher?
She's a booker.
You're a looker.
A redhead, Mike. And I'm not usually into redheads.
Right.
But let me tell you.
Really?
Yes. Keep an eye out.
Can you screen shoot her for me? Is that
no? They don't have high res pictures in that manner.
By the way, you want to know what a tragic life is?
What's that?
Oscar just said there's a hot contestant on Jeopardy. I asked him to screenshot it and send it to me. Okay,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, call me pathetic with a capital P. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I know this is going to disgust you, Michael, but a lot of people are in this business to make money.
Well, don't make me out like I'm some flake, George. I am in this business to make money, too.
Really?
Yes.
Harlem Theater for the Blind, Strindberg in the Park.
You think I'm a failure, George? Is that what you're saying to me?
I will not get sucked into this conversation, Michael. Okay. I will not.
Okay, look, I sent you a play to read that my roommate wrote. It had a great part in it for me. Did you read it?
Where the hell do you come off sending me your roommate's play for you to star in? I'm your agent, not your mother. I'm not supposed to find plays for you to star in. I'm supposed to field offers, and that's what I do.
Field offers? Who told you that? The agent fairy?
Nobody's going to do that play.
Why?
Because it's a downer, that's why. Because nobody wants to produce a play about a couple that moved back to Love Canal.
But that actually happened.
Who gives a shit? Nobody wants to pay $20 to watch people living next to chemical waste. They can see that in New Jersey.
Look, I don't want to argue about it, okay? And I want you to send me up for anything. I don't care what it is. I will do dog commercials on television. I will do radio voiceovers.
Michael, I can't put you up for any of that.
Why not?
Because no one will hire you.
Oh, that's not true, man. I bust my ass to get a part right, and you know I do.
Yes, and you bust everybody else's ass, too. That's what you do. A guy's got 4 weeks to put on a play. You think he wants to sit and argue about whether or not Tolstoy can walk when he's dying or walk when he's talking or sing when he's walking?
That was 2 years ago, and that guy is an idiot.
They can't all be idiots, Michael. You argue with everybody. You've got one of the worst reputations in this town, Michael. You played a tomato for 30 seconds. They want a half a day over schedule because you wouldn't sit down.
Yes, it wasn't logical.
You were a tomato! A tomato doesn't have logic. A tomato can't move.
That's what I said. So if he can't move, how's he going to sit down, George? I was a stand-up tomato, a juicy, sexy beefsteak tomato. Nobody does vegetables like me. I did an evening of vegetables off Broadway. I did the best tomato, the best cucumber. I did an endive salad that knocked the critics on their ass.
This is Wade Byard, the Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
We are live from Podcast Village in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, and we are delighted to have you with us today. From Houston, Texas, to Gunpo, South Korea, from Montreal, Canada, where I'll be going this summer, to Fort Mitchell, Kentucky, from Irondequoit, New York, to Salt Lake City, Utah. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by our bonus packages. Membership has its privileges, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you like the finer things in life, like vacations in Reno, Tahoe, the Caribbean?
Ooh.
Well, F that.
The place to be is in Las Vegas on November 15th for TMOS Live. And guess what? If you were a TMOS Bonus Show subscriber, you'd already have your tickets.
Yeah.
Yes. As I said, membership has its privileges. Bonus Show subscribers got first dibs on tickets, and they also get a bonus. Uncensored. 6 hour of TMOS every week. You should sign up right now.
When?
Yes. Yes. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com. Click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. Be a player, baby. Subscribe to the bonus show. Ring-a-ding-ding and whatnot. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oscar sent me the lady. I'm trying to download it right now.
It's in my lady.
She's a teacher?
Oh, there she is.
Yes.
You know what she teaches?
Oh, no.
No, you don't pay attention to that.
I just saw a picture. I'm not going to take
it. I thought you were a viewer. Yeah.
No. I just,
by the way, do you know what famous person she looks like?
Hmm.
I got it.
Daughter of very big TMOS fans.
Oh.
Rowan Moody.
There you go.
Yes.
That's who she looks like. That is exactly who she looks like.
Let me look here.
Yeah.
Again.
God, it almost could
famous
be her.
Hush puppy thrower, Barb Moody. Daughter of Rowan. Yes.
Her daughter. Mm-hmm.
Who's an actress, right?
Oh, my God. Look at you.
Mm-hmm. And friend of my daughter.
That's right.
Let me eyeball Rowan now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it's getting a little darker.
Okay. Thank you. by the way, you had that clip about Love Canal.
Yes.
And it made me think about what I wanted to talk about yesterday, but I didn't get around to it. And I hate to make this TV, 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 because I got a lot of other things to talk about. But this is something I thought I'd mention. I have officially now, and you'll like this, Rob, because you do it on your bonus shows a lot. I have picked my worst way to die.
Oh.
And that is radiation poisoning. Has anybody looked in on Chernobyl?
No, I put it in my DVR. Chernobyl? I haven't grabbed it yet. But a question, is it a special or is it a series?
It's a series. I think it's a mini series.
Yeah, okay, because I put
it's
it in
a miniseries.
To grab the whole series.
So my God.
Took in the extended trailer when they first announced it. And you should know, Mike, when I was younger, I was obsessed with Chernobyl as a younger man.
That's normal.
You were obsessed with the whole story of the cover-up and all that? I wanted to know,
and not just the cover-up, the idea. For some reason, when we were taught about Chernobyl in school, there was, and if to be fair to me, there wasn't that much information on what actually happened there.
Right.
Yeah, because they didn't let it out.
So growing up, as documentaries came out and more information came out and the wall fell, you started getting more and more information of what actually happened. And
amazing.
There is a part of me that doesn't want to watch this because it seems so, so epically sad.
Well, it is for the initial episode that I watched in its entirety and watched part of it twice.
Oh, wow.
If they do one thing, if you get one thing out of this, I think that we consider nuclear energy and a nuclear power plant. You've heard about the horrors of the, you know, what would happen if there was a meltdown and we did have Love Canal and all that. When you realize what a real meltdown does, which is the core of a nuclear reactor going down into the earth and causing a cloud of radioactivity, that's what, and anyone who's really close, I mean, it's done time. It's over. Game
bye-bye.
Over. Game, set, and match.
Horrific
and
death.
Rapidly in some case. And a horrible, you're microwaved.
Yeah.
Is essentially what happens to you. And I was just the way they do it. And by the way, the story behind it is immediately they allude. I'm not giving any spoilers here because everybody knows what happened. They allude to the fact that because of the layers of bureaucracy in the Soviet system, in the communist system, where everybody was in pure turbo cover your ass mode. They delayed letting it. They were more concerned about it getting out, that they had a power plant.
Did it have anything to do with the fact that the government was also failing, that it was in a bad
place?
Probably.
I mean, it had some. But there were these guys didn't want to go to a gulag. So
of
they
course
were saying,
not.
You know, the leader tells the leader doesn't want to get credit, doesn't want to be supervising it when it has a meltdown. So he gives it to his supervisors. They don't want – everybody's covering their ass that they don't want to be responsible.
Nobody wants to go.
And in the process of this, they just had a horrible delay in reporting what happened, and it killed, God knows somebody. I'll watch the whole thing. Ugh. But they do.
Some
the
say
the
generations.
Astonishing what they did. Yeah. I don't have knowledge of what they could have done to prevent it. But you see the cloud, you see what happens, and you see these people that are right on top of it.
And the way I understand radiation sickness is it comes from inside. I mean, it permeates you, and it's
like you
really
said, like a microwave.
Horrible.
So yeah, well, about pretty good. It's pretty good. A decade ago, I maybe. So for those of you not in the know,
longer than that, it goes way back.
No. There was an actual documentary that went to Chernobyl and documented and had right. like a before and after of what it looked like.
Is that the ones that the first time they let Western journalists in with Geiger counters, yes. and they were still rich? Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And so to dangerous. Look at amusement parks, which have been overgrown, to watch where kids would play, and it looks like time stopped when the meltdown happened. Mm-hmm. And then years later, you get desensitized because you watch a Die Hard film where they go back to Chernobyl because they're getting uranium because some terrorist wants to build a nuclear bomb, yada, yada, yada.
But to be clear, that was not a documentary, the Die Hard film.
No, thank you. But
happened in 86, by the way.
There's a true fascination, and I think this is why you would make something like this, to get the truth out of what happened.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know, I realized that's when I started my radio career, really, and that was the first year I was on, you know, on WAVA way mm-hmm. back when. And
go
yeah,
because 80s.
We heard about it, but it was like, I remember a little fear of, you know, how good the cloud could affect, but it was pretty minor in the Soviets.
It was my freshman year of high school when it happened, and I remember it was so distant that it was not treated with the reverence or the gravity.
Well, you had your own meltdown happening in your pants.
Okay, no, Oscar.
I mean, you probably weren't really aware of what's happening.
Keep going. You can save it. Go.
Build on. Why do you yes, have and such an awkward, I guess, relationship with your early sexuality? You get mad right away.
Well, no, it's not so much that. You were finishing my sentence.
Yeah, I was just saying you're going through puberty. You don't care about Chernobyl?
I had this huge rager, and there was this meltdown in the Soviet Union. All I'm saying is that I really do remember it not getting the coverage of the importance that it was that we later found out
well,
it to
well,
be.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't.
Let me give you the wiki on it. The Chernobyl disaster, the accident was a catastrophic nuclear accident that occurred right around the 25th and 26th of April in 1986 in the number 4 nuclear reactor of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant near the now abandoned town of Pripyat. I think that's how they pronounce it in the Soviet Ukraine. The accident occurred during a late night safety test, which simulated a station blackout power failure, in the course of which both emergency safety and power regulating systems were intentionally turned off. A combination of inherent reactor design flaws and the reactor operators arranging the core in a manner contrary to the checklist for the test eventually resulted in uncontrolled reaction conditions. Water flashed into steam, generating a destructive steam explosion and a subsequent open-air graphite fire. This is heavy duty when you think
wow.
about all the things that can
Science.
Happen in a plant. This fire produced considerable updrafts for about 9 days. The heat was so intense that it melted firefighters' boots. The fire was finally contained on the 4th of May, almost a month of this.
Wow.
And plumes of fission products. It's so, you know, give me the crib notes on it. The total number of casualties, including deaths due to the Chernobyl disaster, remains a controversial and disputed issue. During the accident, steam blasts effect caused 2 deaths within the facility, one immediately after the explosion, the other compounded lethal dose of radiation. This feels like it was written by the Soviets.
Yeah, it does.
It really, really does. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to get the deaths of this. 28 firemen and employees died in the days and months afterwards. Additionally, approximately 14 radium-induced cancer deaths among the group of 134. I really thought the number would be ridiculous.
But you know what?
This has been whitewashed.
This has been whitewashed because what you've got is everyone who was exposed.
What about
exposed,
cancer?
And the cancer has probably...
Cancer rates through the roof.
And it probably cases yet to be diagnosed because they're carrying this radiation.
I think they're diagnosed now and they're waiting.
They covered it up. The remains of the number 4 reactor, and I don't mean a cover-up like hinky thing. The reactor building enclosed in a large cover, which was named the object shelter, often known as the sarcophagus. The purpose of the structure was to reduce the spread of the remaining radioactive dust. It motivated safety upgrades on all remaining Soviet plants. It's tough to get the the real deal. It's very, really, it appears that this might have been written by somebody.
Well, anyone can go into Wikipedia. I'm sure that some irate Russian person went in and fixed it. Yeah, people don't
it's
know.
It's scary. It's very scary.
That's so, two, three people tops.
Yeah, but it shows you what happens with a, and I don't know anything about nuclear power, but it's just,
well,
you know,
isn't it always... they use the nuclear, the fission, the splitting, right, to make energy, which is extreme heat, to produce steam, which produces an amazing amount of electricity, because they can make steam so powerful and so efficiently. Is that right, Bonnie?
I will be very honest with you. I am reading I'm reading the wiki page of this, and I believe it is designed to be detailed so to the extent of knowing people aren't going to dive right into it.
Making it's you very, tune out. Rather, they don't want you to know about it.
It's very, very, very scary. It is. So if you want to watch it, it's on HBO right now. And, nobody knows. So anyway, they claim 28 deaths direct and 15 estimated indirect deaths. That's got to be absolute crap.
Well, I mean, I think what they're
more
doing
people
is
had to die.
I think they're
of that.
Doing letter of the law stuff. What they're not including is the fact that everyone in that town had to leave. Everyone in that town was exposed to dangerous levels of radiation, and I'm sure they either have had or are going to get cancer because of it. But they're not including
scary.
That. They're not including
they
that.
They said about 600,000 people were affected by this.
Okay, that sounds a lot more real.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's it just seems to me that when you talk about radiation poisoning, that would be pretty disastrous to go through that, and you see that, and all sorts of weird stuff happens, and I still smell a rat. I still think there's a cover up going up, and we don't pay attention to that stuff, especially in the United States. That's the way that rolls. This is a very dark topic. I'm sorry, but it's on HBO. What Pony?
Do you remember that Russian reporter that was poisoned with that radioactive material?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it does to you.
Yeah, it kills you from the inside out.
In the
right?
UK.
Yeah, and it, like the.
The family,
products,
the two people.
The fission metals, fission. Like, they stick to your bones, and then they
I had some fission in a soda yesterday.
I'm going to write
was
real
flat,
death toll.
But it still had fission.
I think I'm going to get out on the boat and go fission.
Yeah,
I think it might be nice, relax.
You know what? Here, the true story.
Give us subject matter that's tragic. It won't make it happy.
Oh, we tapped it.
Yes. I like driving a Ford Fission to work.
I'm sorry I'm reading while we're doing the show, but I'm looking at this right now.
You know, these glasses, I think I need to get my vision checked.
Fission.
All right, hold on a second.
It's not too early, right?
No, it's about right. As a matter of fact, I checked the comedy calendar.
And according to, all right, well, here it is. According to the official Soviet account, the explosion killed two plant workers, while 28 engineers and firefighters died of acute radiation syndrome in the weeks following the disaster. There were 600 people working on site during the explosion, and 134 in total were sickened with acute radiation poisoning. The first responders and plant personnel who didn't survive had agonizing deaths, suffering vomiting and diarrhea, severe full body burns, and eventual organ failure. Authorities did not begin to evacuate communities around Chernobyl until the afternoon of the 27th, 2 days, more than 24 hours after the explosion. As authorities expanded the evacuation zone, more than 300,000 people were placed on buses and evacuated. So they eventually did evacuate. The plant wasn't completely shut down until 2000.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know any of this. This is amazing.
14 years later?
Yeah.
Reports of long-term health effects from Chernobyl vary, but the disaster contaminated an area inhabited by millions. Though experts debate the long-term death toll, the UN put the number at 4,000. While Greenpeace has estimated 93,000. It's been linked to thousands of cases of thyroid cancer, increased rates of leukemia for people who worked at the site after the explosion, as well as anxiety and mental health problems among those who lived there. So that's there you go. The Greenpeace says 90,000, and the UN says 4,000. And the Russians say two.
Two people got broken
we
toe.
We have two people.
Three
so
Mile
anyway,
Island wasn't
sorry
a meltdown, right?
No, that was not a full meltdown, I don't believe.
They caught it. I think is what
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, they caught it.
Yeah,
but it is very, very scary. It's very, very, very scary.
I think on 60 Minutes this past season they went to Three Mile Island, like 30 years after the fact,
uh-huh.
And I guess
did they leave Steve Croft there?
Leslie Stahl, I think, reported the original story, yes, and she reported the updated story 30
well,
years
later. Well,
it's
scary. It's fascinating. If you want to know the dark side of nuclear power, take a peek at that sometime. Yeah. And I'm glad to, you know, if you're. And by the way, if you happen to be living around Lake Hanna, my apologies for that. that whole segment right there. Okay, you know, water's fine. You know,
good.
You
nice.
Enjoy yourself. Hey, a little Al Jarreau. You're taking a break right here. Watch. Turn that up for me, Rob Spiewak. Hey, speaking of 1986, how you doing, everybody? The Mike O'Meara Show coming at you. And, hey, we're going to Las Vegas. Did we mention that? Yeah, yes, sir. Just a few tickets left. So, hey, bonus show subscribers, make sure you grab yours. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about my wife not letting me drive. Yeah, life is good. Mike O'Meara Show.
I can't be what I want to at
all. Oh, it's Mother's Day this weekend. And what do you get for that special someone who gave you life? Lasagna. Why don't you head over to the MikeOMeraShow.com, click on the shopping center banner, where you can buy something from Macy's.com, Walmart.com, or Target.com. But you better hurry, or you'll be sorry. Now let's head back to the man we all know who truly loved his mother, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, Paulie, I love you too, pal. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. Some wise words from Cornerstone First Financial. If you are considering making some financial moves, stop considering and do it.
Do it.
Equity in homes has never been higher than it is right now. We're talking over $15 trillion in equity across the country. In fact, since the bottom of the market in 2012, home values are now up 53%.
Wow.
Whether you're buying, refinancing, or consolidating debt, Cornerstone guarantees the lowest rate. Rates are low, equity's high, and even if you purchased in the last year, you may be able to remove your PMI. That's private mortgage insurance, people. Work with the friends of TMOS and save some dough. Now licensed in California, along with Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them at 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Woo! And Woo! We thank you. Yesterday on the show, briefly, we alluded to Carla's parking, or it might have been before the show.
It was in the pre-show meeting.
Oscar wanted me to make really clear that when I'm criticizing my wife parking, to explain to the listeners why she doesn't let me drive. I think Oscar has a desire for me to communicate to our listening audience that I am not infirmed and that I am more than capable of driving an automobile.
Right.
That is true.
It's not mandated by the state, is what you're saying.
No. No.
You don't have a conversion van that you get into.
I think you know the reason why Carla prefers to drive when we are together, and you can share that with the listening audience, because that is true, and
Mike,
I confirmed it with you yesterday.
Has a short fuse.
Yes.
When he drives. And he cannot help but be passionate about the way other people drive, which turns into road rage.
Yeah, and it's not really official road rage. It's more, I would describe it as...
What do you classify as road rage?
I classify what I do, Mr. Santana, as hyper-judgment.
I will give you that, and I will also say this. I think there are variant, and I think it's a slippery slope when you define road rage.
Hyper-judgment. I've never heard such a thing.
Hyper-judgment.
Road rage would most certainly include, say, Jack Nicholson getting out of a car and attacking someone with a golf club.
Let me give you this option.
That's a physical
act. What about racing up to a car and flicking them off?
Is that
road rage?
I would say that is road rage because it involves an act.
Mike.
I haven't done that in decades.
Attaboy.
Okay.
I don't do that. But I do, within the car, hyperjudge. And my wife, it drives my wife nuts. Like, I will give you an example.
Okay.
All right? And this is, and I don't say this out loud, but this is what I'm thinking. Like, for example, I was driving the other day, and in front of me is a, the car in front of me, it was a Toyota Underachiever.
Oh, yes.
And the brand new Toyota Underachiever.
Beige.
And the Toyota Underachiever was in front of me, and it was going back over to the left lane, and then back over to the right lane, and back over to the left lane. And I'm driving in the left lane, and I'm just trying to get by. But it was doing so in a manner that said, this is not safe.
Not
for
safe.
Me to proceed. And as I finally pulled up alongside of it, and I observed the prostitute who was texting that was in the driver's side, I said, aha, That's what it is. Mm. You're doing something that's illegal in some states because you don't adhere to the PR campaign of it can wait. You're typing, and because your math or your typing skills, your letter knowledge is so limited on your keyboard,
right.
You're veering back and forth. You shouldn't text and drive.
Were you
it
able
should
to
not be done?
Did you were able to determine if she was actually texting her John?
Or? Yes, she was texting. Yes, I did. I looked over and I said she's texting her John.
Dear John, I'm going to be late to work.
She was texting her John. I won't be at your hotel to provide you with motel. A variety of delightful, your motel to provide you with a variety of delightful sexual services because I'm running late in traffic. So I hyper judge, just like when I will say something, and it's not none of this I adhere to. It's not something I'm proud
not
of.
Healthy.
It's not something I like. Like when I will say, I'll give you something I do occasionally say out loud.
Okay.
I will say, I'm embarrassed to say.
There
I
we
will
go.
Say, I will say, get in the casket.
Oh, dear.
I said, just get in the casket. You know, when I'm behind a 1980 Cadillac that's going 13 miles per hour in the left lane of a 45 mile an hour road because they don't really go out on the busy roads. I get frustrated, and
I've spent many hours in a car with you. I've spent many hours driving with you as my passenger, and you are a hypersensitive, hyper-aware, and I don't think that's necessarily bad. Because
it's not good for the passenger.
Yeah, do you think it's
my wife doesn't like
it. I never minded it because it was like having an extra set of eyes. Because when we were driving from Manassas to Florida, you were very aware of all things around us. Yeah.
Well, it's scary, and there are people that do their tells, and you know when you've driven for a long time, you know what the tells are. But I don't begrudge my wife at all for not wanting me to be behind the wheel because that's when I feel that I've got the total control and I can say whatever I want, and especially if we've got the little guy. So that's the reason.
Yeah.
She prefers like ridiculously.
It's
like,
a preference, not a law.
Like we're going out. We're going out for dinner, and we will walk out of the driveway, and I get this. She goes, "You're not driving." That's what she'll say to me. You're not driving. Now, at my advanced age, with the 20-year age difference, 21, you will actually feel, I feel like the old man that, because you see a lot of that down here, too.
Yes.
Where you'll see the younger wife, who might be in her 50s, and then you see the guy going, ba-doop, 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 you know, probably dutying in his pants as he's driving along. And I don't like that either. So, I mean,
Mr.
when I'm driving
Nicole
along.
Mr. Nicole Smith.
Right. It's just like, going to Perkins.
Sweet.
That I'll guy. Have a burger, fries, and some pie, shall we?
Treg does not drive. He walks.
No, I think Treg probably has a driver.
Treg. Okay, we're not going back to Treg. So that's the thing, Oscar. It is my demeanor that frustrates her.
He's amiable. He's got a license.
Yeah, I have quit smoking years and years ago. I have modified my alcohol intake. For those of you who may be, out and about this weekend in D.C., that, you know, just remember I said that.
Modified is a very slippery word.
But, I mean, I've also, gained and lost weight over the years. I've demonstrated that in some circumstances I have willpower. One thing I have consistently been unsuccessful at reining in is my desire to hyperjudge when I'm behind the wheel. It really is something where I like to vent, and I don't. Now, I don't do road rage anymore, though. I don't do that. You know,
think it's okay. I think it's okay. I think if she prefers to drive, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to hyperjudge people that are out there driving in their Toyota Chernobyl and not getting things done, you're allowed to do that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. The Hyundai Zit, you know, cruising along at 75 miles an hour. Up on my bumper, you know, with somebody who's very busy because they think
someone driving.
Because I know that. The dynamics down here, I know the young people hate all the old people.
Yeah.
I know that, especially the pickup truck drivers. Yeah, the young guys that are 20-somethings in their big pickups with their mutters, where they're up on
stilts.
They maybe
have flags in the back window.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have flow-grown, which is Florida-grown, homegrown, Florida people. And they'll come up, all of a sudden you're driving along. I might be daydreaming a little bit. You know, I might be presenting Mike O'Mara with a putt to win the Masters. And all of a sudden I hear this, and I look back and I've got the grill of an F-150 that is literally in my rearview mirror, the entire grill. And by the way, it's the license plate I'm looking at because the car is raised up so hard. And I get over it because I understand what that guy's going through. And I say, I don't want to be that guy.
High T.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out of the way.
And by the way, where I live, off of a main drag, Route 41, which is the old route that goes, it's called the Tamiami Trail. And let me tell you why it's called that, because it goes from Tampa to Miami.
Ooh.
And that's the old one they used to have. And you get people that are driving on
what
that
all the time. What a clever portmanteau.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. What is a portmanteau?
When you combine two words to make one.
Oh, really? I didn't know that a portmanteau.
Like Rob Mom?
How long? That's pretty good, and you've taught me a new word. It's a portmanteau?
A portmanteau. I'll
give
check
me
this
another
spring.
Example of a portmanteau.
I would say...
Yeah, that's how you get them. That's how you get them, like, smarty pants. Come on. Come on!
Delmarva.
Delmarva. Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe okay. Flomax.
Flomax.
For maximum urinary flow, take your Flomax.
Okay, I got Flomax. It. I got it. Portmanteau. Yes. This is from Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
Or the best Saturday Night Live bit in a long time, Rectix.
Oh, God, that was great.
That was funny.
A cliche and uncreative technique to form new words.
But that's from Urban Dictionary.
I'm just, this is all the first thing that came up.
Okay.
On the old Google.
Well, that's great.
Show's all over the place today.
Keep being charming.
All right. I lead up to one thing, okay? Carla is a more reserved driver. She does a better job of that than I do. And she moves along at a nice little clip. I like taking long trips with her because she gets it done. And if she wants to drive, I am completely okay with that. Where the breakdown occurs,
so to speak,
and where she is challenged,
mm-hmm,
is parking spaces. And I'm not going to stereotype and be a misogynist and say this is a female thing, because I don't believe it is. But there are people that can, and people that I was not being a misogynist. She didn't need to play the alarm.
I played it at half volume. It's got a very, very delicate switch.
There are people that can and people that can't.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. When you are going into a shopping center and there is a parking space there, it is necessary to a slight degree, no matter what your vehicle is, to do a trucker's turn, where you kind of go out and
pivot
come
out,
in,
pivot in.
So that you can do it. So Carla has not done this since she got her driver's license. She does not know how. And I bagged the process of taking pictures of Carla's parking. Where and by the
like
way,
tic tac sideways.
Well, it's just her
be
thing
a great
is the
Reddit
lines.
Thread.
She her thing is the lines.
Okay.
So she quite often Carla will be completely and utterly satisfied if you can draw a straight line from the left line of the parking space to the right line, and it will cross the rear of the car, because the car is diagonal within that space.
Mm.
It is constant.
Mm.
It is never ending. And I say, go out wider. Go out wider. Go out wider. And and we do this constantly. And I don't know if I'm the only one that gets frustrated.
I judge people that park like that all the time.
Yeah,
I just don't.
Lazy, discourteous.
If I look at the lot at CVS, take a moment to say, oh, I wonder if they're ticketing today.
Yeah,
and there's a gal or a guy that who knows who parked, and they are literally diagonal in the spot.
Yes,
I wonder, were you in that much of a hurry, or are you just a rube driver?
It's a rube driver. I think it's somebody who does. I don't.
Is
think
it a
it's
rube
lazy.
Or is it given? Is it just something in your makeup?
I think you just don't process it
yeah.
the way other people.
Because
I'm really
having
conscious.
Taught, Julia is a horrible parker. Great driver, horrible parker. Robert gets it first try every time. Like dynamite. He's perfect.
Like right in between the lines.
Yeah, exactly. I think it comes from video gaming.
And if you've ever Ooh. Owned a pickup truck, which I have, you kind of get this. Because
yeah.
it's really hard, especially with a long bed, to mm-hmm. park a pickup truck. And do so in a way. It's a much more challenging deal for a parking space than a regular car. And I'm just all I like to say, look, even if you're in a tight space, even if you're at Tyson's Corner, Virginia, on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What you want to do is you just want to make the effort to, you know, to deal with the other cars so that you have the an equidistant amount of space on the right and left, no matter where
courtesy.
They've parked.
Courtesy. That's all
courtesy.
It is.
So the only way that I will park where the, you know, it's a tight squeeze will be if I have absolutely no choice, because
exactly.
there's another car that happens to be over the line. And you've seen viral videos where people will hem someone in that parked irresponsibly. And I love those when they call people out on it.
At CVS,
I enjoy that a lot.
Twice since we've been doing the show here at CVS, mm-hmm. when I would park over there, I don't anymore because I, you know,
that's an extraordinarily tight parking space.
I've had to get in on the passenger side and climb over because there's just no other way to
City
do it.
Parking.
Now, if someone videotaped that would be a viral video.
Well, you couldn't post because it took you about an hour and a half.
that would be
no, that was
that
a slow-mo.
Would be like 20 minutes of I can't, jeez.
And then I had to absolutely wash the emergency brake handle.
Oh, that's nasty. All right, on that note, thank you. But anyway, Carlisle, I'll still let you drive.
And Mike, I ignored the most obvious portmanteau. Brunch.
Breakfast and lunch.
Exactly, yeah.
That's so, a portmanteau.
Yeah, and it's not a Bob, hack thing.
And it's a Bob Seger sound, hack. Too.
Just take me back to Portmanteau. That's what I want to do.
We'll take a break. Come back with more Portmanteau. We'll be right back. I want you two to prepare your intern evaluations when we come back.
Oh, good.
On the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Hey, it's me, intern Dahlia. You know how everyone always says that the best things in life are free? Well, that's just communism infiltrating American culture. Mm-hmm. In America, we pay for things because if we don't, the commies are going to replace every American flag with the hammer and sickle. Do you, our loyal listener, want your independent wealth stolen by Soviet ideals? I think not. So buy the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Pay for your entertainment like a red-blooded American should. Thank you.
Thank you, Dahlia. Love you, Dahlia. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Third Love. Take it from me, buying a bra can be awkward. They always kick me out of the dressing room. Sir,
every
you don't
time.
Need it. Seriously, though, ask any woman getting the right size bra seems damn near impossible. Until now, I was talking to Carla about her Third Love bra that she got. She loves this. She loves the fit. She loves her bra, and she looks great in it. And she loves the comfort of it. Third Love. They have a Fit Finder quiz. Just answer a few simple questions online, and you and she find their perfect bra in 60 seconds. Third Love bras feature lightweight, super thin memory foam cups. Only Third Love has them, plus more sizes than most other brands. Try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. There is a 100% fit guarantee. This is something they do at Third Love that I think is wonderful. If after 60 days you don't love it, return it. Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great company, and they're socially aware, and you got to love a company that does that. Carla loves hers. You're going to love yours. Third Love, it's a wonderful bra company. Third Love has a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/TMOS right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/TMOS for 15% off today. We do a lot of talking on this show about our interns. And the difference between the crop of interns we've had over the last 6 months to a year and where we used to be is we used to do a lot of shtick with our interns.
Oh,
but
yeah.
A lot of stuff goes on now behind the scenes.
Yes.
And I'll give you guys credit. I think it has become a far more educational experience with the with the podcast village.
Yes.
And with all the business that's going on.
Space, the room
but
to
because
grow.
Of that, you don't drag them in here because somebody's done something. You know, it happens occasionally. But first of all, Rob Spiewak, lay out for me over the whatever period of time you want to, what interns we have in the queue.
Our current flock, and we actually have a few interviews coming up because we'll have some new faces coming up in the summer in the fall. Right now, we have... Our senior intern is still Jessica, who comes in on Fridays and has become quite the proficient editor.
She's such a blabber mouth.
Yeah, you know what the problem with her is, Mike? She's a blabber mouth.
All right, Jessica.
Yes, you would know her if you saw her. She's been with us for well over a year and a half.
Why are you holding your head? Because I don't remember. Is that why?
No. What? You remember Jessica? Jessica is your classic. She likes to work.
She does.
She does not.
So you don't see her coming in on mic at all.
Not,
she won a game on the bonus show.
Yeah, she's
once.
Not in the into the limelight.
No, not at
she's
all.
She's into doing the hard
she's
work.
She's the opera singer, right?
No. There is Jessica
That's
was
what, let
once
me give my
on
buzzer.
Camera, and you asked that. Us to take her off camera because she looked sad.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember.
Not like
she
sad
dated back,
like a sad person. She looked like she had a frown the entire time, but she was really happy.
She dated back to when we had the interns actually had to sit in studio with us, and we had to reconfigure it.
All
but
right,
she did win a pop music quiz on the bonus show once. Her shining moment.
And she wins the longevity award for, quality interns that have stuck around and done their job.
Absolutely.
How do you want to do the grading?
Oh, do you want to do
Might as well
grades?
Make it academic. A, B, C, D, E, F.
Most of these don't we have to write a review of sorts?
Yeah, if oftentimes I invite them to write the review and then I will sign it.
If you're writing a grade right now that had to go in their college transcript, what would you give Jessica?
I would give Jessica an A minus. Yes.
What would you give her, Oscar?
I like that I don't know when she's here because she doesn't make a big fuss. She doesn't
complain. I need a grade.
It took Oscar 14 months to learn her name.
Yeah, I thought it was Jennifer.
So what do you grade her?
I'm going to grade her an A.
All right,
really?
Keep track of her.
Okay.
And that Rob Spiewak, an A minus and an A.
She got a minus because, well, it still averages to an A minus. I'm sorry. But the reason
that you want to lay this all on your brother and have him do the grading?
Yeah, please. You know the
You seem uncomfortable with it.
Yes.
The reason she gets the minus.
I have to pay some of these guys. So.
Okay. The reason for the minus is that she is so hesitant to participate in the show. And I think that's part of your internship.
All right, that's good. Let's move on. Next intern, please.
A Friday intern, Jesse. Not to be confused with Jessica. Jesse. Who is a George Mason student who said in her interview she had a interest in becoming an on-air type of presence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse...
She's got a personality to her, a zest.
Yeah, there's a certain zest.
She loves talking about her...
She's the opera singer, right?
No. She's getting married.
That's a buzzer.
She's engaged.
She is engaged.
Planning a wedding.
Yeah, while in college, planning her wedding.
She's planning a wedding?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Her own. She'll be the bride.
I really feel. I mean, I don't see them guys. So it's hard for me.
You know what? When
it
you
really
comes to Jesse, we barely see her.
I know Dahlia. I know.
You're coming into town
Johnny.
This weekend. You're not even coming to the village.
I don't have time to come to the village.
I just don't have time.
I'm landing with like rain and thunderstorms at like 5:30.
I know Tom Brady. Listen,
I'm sorry.
You're busy.
I'm sorry. I'm taking my daughter to dinner.
He's got a busy schedule.
Well, Tom, a lot of people have a busy schedule. I didn't think Tom Brady's most known for
his
busyness.
There's a quick anecdote, and you will know more about this. I just have to. I have to share this.
All right.
I have to.
All
right. And politics aside,
okay.
We work on a different show here at Podcast Village, and a story was told about how Tom Brady helicoptered into Kenny Bunkport to play golf with 43 and Bill Clinton. So George Bush and Bill Clinton. But he was so busy, he had to take a chopper from Boston to Kenny Bunkport and land on the tip of the peninsula so they could play golf.
Mike, he was so busy, he had to play from the red tees. That's how busy he was. He had enough time to play from the long
Surreal. Surreal. So you got a busy schedule is what I'm saying.
I may come by on Saturday afternoon.
Please do. Aren't we all busy on Saturday afternoon?
No. I mean, what was it Saturday afternoon? We'll talk about it.
Okay. Right. Offline.
All right, back to the interview.
Yes. All right. But Jessie, she has a certain zest for living, I feel. But I think also she lacks a certain spark of motivation. And I lay it out to every intern when they get here. Whatever projects you want to pursue, let us know what you want to do. And we'll work with you on that.
All right, and so she's not around a lot?
Well, she's a one-day-a-week intern who does a lot of watching.
Some Fridays. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What grade do you give her?
You know, Mike, there's no... No shame in this. C's get degrees.
You didn't.
He's being honest. All right, we got
I can
Jessica,
unlock
Jesse.
The door. I just can't open it for them.
All right, who's the third intern? Jess?
No, I would say.
How many Jessicas do we have for Christ's sake? All right.
Our third intern on the list is Dahlia.
Dahlia. I know Dahlia because she does a lot of promos.
And she is an excellent worker behind the scenes when given projects. She always completes them. She's a really fine writer, and her production skills are good. And I think that she has worked well with Johnny and also works well
You've
with Allison.
You've fostered the growth of their skill set.
All right, let's give her a grade.
She gets an A.
Oh, the first A doled out by Mr. Spiewak.
Do you have a cash register sound effect?
I do somewhere. I don't know where the hell I put it. I've got it somewhere. It's on my sound.
I ask because this is pertinent to
all right,
the conversation.
Go ahead. Yes, I do.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Yes.
Dahlia will be working at Podcast Village part-time this summer and being paid.
That's
how good she is.
Very good. That's exciting news.
Yes.
Exciting news. Moving right along. We've gotten three down. How many to go?
We have three more to go.
Three more to go. Okay, lay
Dahlia works well alongside intern Johnny. Johnny Kendall.
I remember that smart ass. I remember him. Yeah, that's the guy I remember.
And I get another cash register.
Okay, he's also... Oh, he got his wish? He's got it.
He's got his wish.
He did.
He clicked twice.
But here's the thing about Johnny. Yeah. Excellent worker. really a great contributor, even off air. He was part of the Wax Museum experiment and did not let
that.
Us down.
Wax Pack,
right?
And he was the first of the interns to approach us for possible employment,
yes.
Which shows initiative.
What do you give him?
An A-, because he's sort of a dick.
Oh, sorry about that, John.
And I'll tell you why.
He's great.
Because yeah. Look, all of these, Mike, they must remain embedded in the TMOS family if they're going to be employed for the summer
yes.
for Podcast Village as well. It just gives them an opportunity because they don't have class
right.
to
absolutely.
Go and work a little further down the line, pay
it.
The rent. And Johnny came to me yesterday. Goes, I was hoping to get in touch with you because I have another internship that I'll be working at as well. So let's split that time. And I said, whatever you want, Johnny. It's your oyster.
Oh,
your world.
You know what? B+.
B+. Hey, Johnny.
B+.
Way to go. Hope
now
you made the other people happy. B+ for you, you smart ass. You user.
Now
user.
Now that all the facts are on the table, he's going to have a very busy summer.
All right, we got to fly through the last two. Hurry up.
No longer with us, but he made his presence certainly known. Ethan has completed his internship.
Oh, Ethan's gone?
Yes. He's gone.
He had his last day while we were on holiday
last
week.
Took the dusty trail to back to Ohio University. He'll be working at a network news outlet out there.
So really? Okay. Yes. Very,
very
good.
It's an internship. He's 19, for God's sakes.
All right, that's how he was a fun kid, serious-minded
yes.
kid.
Certainly made an impression on all of us. Participated yep. on this show, participated on the Hey Phrase show. He was the first Podcast Village intern for the entire mm-hmm. village. But his overconfidence gets him an B+.
Because oh!
Too confident?
A little too confident.
Okay.
And although it could be lower based on that, the reason he has a strong B+ is that when he would be sat down on a one-on-one situation and said, this needs to be better yeah. because this way, he was an excellent learner.
Don't you factor the 19-year-old where you're like, I can't believe this guy's so polished at 19.
All right, because of that,
yes.
remember the 0.5 we took away from Johnny Kendall? Yes, let's mark him up to an A- then.
Okay.
Ethan
wow.
with an A-.
Another A-, and you
I hate
your
to sound,
hand
I hate to sound
injury.
Like Rudy Martsky by giving everyone an A-, but we've
right.
got such a great crop here. Our
we
final intern
more.
Is Allison. Allison Krause.
Allison. She's the opera singer.
Yes, Mike. Give yourself a ding.
There you go.
Can I get a cash register, please?
Yes, okay. Cash, another one getting paid.
Well, she's graduated.
Wow. Yes.
Yes.
This is her Podcast Village proper. It will be her first employment after graduation.
She's talented. She's got a lot of...
She's an amazing... Yes. She's just graduated. She's going to do, I think, 3 weeks in Greece.
And then she's coming back.
And then coming back.
And she's going to be an associate producer here at the Village.
That probably means I know what the grade's going to be. Could this be? Could it be?
Don't read ahead, but I will say this. Not only is she an excellent writer, great sense of humor. She's wowed us with her singing skills, her musicality. She wrote music for promos that I requested something that sounded like something, and she sat down and she wrote it as a part of the Podcast Village machine to have someone with that sort of musical background.
By the way, that was a very, very skilled broadcasting description. I asked her to write something that sounded like something.
Let me rephrase it. I wanted a piece of music that was evocative of the theme.
Ooh, I like that.
Evocative of the theme of Doogie Howser, but I didn't want to use Doogie Howser.
You wanted your own original.
And she was able to do what was like...
She had the skill set to do that.
And to bring someone in with that sort of musicality to the Podcast Village machine earns her an A+. I am so pleased that she's going to be
Allison.
Part of the Village.
Allison, hit the music. Way to go. Legitimate intern progress report.
Right.
Something we should do every quarter.
Yes,
I
agree.
That's a wonderful
and Mike,
idea.
For future
yes.
interns.
Yes.
Look at the runway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, amen. Look at how many people are getting some cash in their pockets coming to work for us, but not when they first get here.
No.
And if they're really weird, we'll send them out to Rent-A-Center or wherever Mac went.
What's great, we got a lot of applications this very week.
Micro Center, sorry.
And if you want to get your internship off on the right foot, spell check your cover letter. I just want to say that.
Okay. Mm. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need. Right here on the Michael Myers Show.
The year is 2019 and the death toll only rises. It's Mickey, the Tony Perkins Show. AmeriCast and Tech 411 have all perished in the nuclear fire called Judgment Day. With cake and cookies on life support, only political persuasions remains to helm the resistance against whatever it is we're fighting against in this promo. Each Thursday, listen as Resistance leader Mike O'Mara and Skynet stooge Chris Freites discuss the political scene as the fate of our world hangs in the balance. Political Persuasions, Thursdays on MikeO'MaraShow.com, politicalpersuasions.com, and wherever else Skynet allows it.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, is it over?
Yes, it's over. Come back, Mike. We need you.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Sticking to a weight loss plan can be hard, especially with the mental obstacles that prevent progress. With Noom, you'll lose the guilt and learn how to develop a new relationship with food and live a healthier lifestyle. That's what's great about Noom. With Noom, you don't diet. You learn better habits for a new, better you. Noom puts weight loss in the palm of your hand. The Noom app is on your phone whenever and wherever you need it. Noom also gives you a live goal specialist, a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, and fitness trainer all in one. My favorite part is that Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. Food tracking, key to the kingdom when it comes to weight
loss. Absolutely.
And it's easy with Noom. I love it. Noom is designed for results. Lose your old habits by signing up for your trial today. You can do it at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. Oscar, you love Noom.
Yes.
Carla loves Noom. She's on it constantly, tracking her food. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. Start losing weight for good, and we thank you, Noom.
News.
Noom.
Boo. There are people who think Amy Schumer gave out a fake name for her newborn son.
Oh,
really?
No. Listen,
I am just the messenger. This is not my theory. I am simply sharing what I'm reading online.
You report, we decide.
I am reporting this. They think that the name for her newborn son may have actually been a dirty joke. And if there's no truth to this, then I, even though I'm just the messenger, I will say I'm sorry.
Okay.
Remember, she said the kid's name was Jean Attell Fisher. And people assume the Attell was a tribute to fellow comedian Dave Attell.
Right. That makes sense.
Interesting. But now people are pointing out that if you say it fast, it kind of sounds like genital Fisher. And it's totally a joke that she would make. There is no genital Fisher.
Oh, no.
No word yet from Amy, but if this is just a coincidence, it couldn't be a more perfect one. We'll hopefully have an update for you maybe next week. I don't know. I can't do the same name with the royal baby name.
It's not like named Herpetixor or anything, is it?
Yeah, no, not at all. It's okay. Baby Sussex, I believe.
No,
baby
they actually
Sussex.
Revealed the real name yesterday. It's a long
what is
one.
It,
it's
Duke
Archie.
Sussex,
it's
Earl?
Archie. Yeah.
Archie?
Yeah, it's like Archie Mountbatten something. It's a long one.
Really?
I'll find it for you.
Archie. Well, yeah. Now for the real old people in our list, it's like, oh, geez, Edith. Oh, my God. Meghan Markle, come on, stifle. By the time Howard Stern moved to satellite, he'd pretty much broken every rule and every taboo in terrestrial radio. Even though he was moving to a place where there were no rules, there really wasn't much further he could go. At the same time, his obsession with being as outrageous as possible and being, quote, at the center of the universe was destroying his home life. So he evolved. In a new interview with The Hollywood Reporter in advance of the book coming out, he says, you can only interview so many strippers. And Howard talks about, read a little bit about this. He talks about his evolution. And, you know, I've talked about how much I enjoy Howard's interviews today. Mm-hmm. And he's evolved a little bit with that, too. A little bit more of a grown-up. I mean, Howard, anybody that competed against Howard, anybody who's on the same radio station with Howard knows it was all about Howard. I mean, yeah. We joked about it. That used to be the shtick. But he also opened some doors for other radio personalities, and you know what? I had a truce. Don and I had a truce with Howard back in the day, and he honored it. It was a verbal thing, and you know, when we came to the station, WJFK, where he was on in the morning, we were on in the afternoon, that truce held up pretty well, and that was a long, long time, and he didn't do that with everybody, so I look back fondly on that, and I also think that Howard made it happen for a lot of people, and I like people that grow. And I disagree with Artie Lang that he got soft. You know, Artie, as you're pummeling your nose into submission, you got to realize people do have to grow up at a certain point, Artie. That's what it's all about.
That's life.
So, yeah, I look forward to hearing more about that. Yes, Rob.
The full name of Baby Sussex is Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor.
Wow.
And Mountbatten Windsor is a hyphenate.
Okay, Mountbatten, Lord Mountbatten. I think he got blown up on a boat one time.
And anyway. Windsor was, I think, the royal family's name, yeah?
And very good. Tough tie. Windsor knot.
A Windsor knot. Have you ever tied a Windsor knot?
Oh, yeah.
I can't. I don't know how to do it.
Really?
My grandfather did. Do you tie Windsor when you're
I can, but the problem is with my extreme girth, it doesn't allow enough tie. It takes up too much tie.
Thank you for sharing that. Mel Gibson is playing Santa in an upcoming movie.
Oh, no.
This is not, apparently, it hasn't been made yet. This isn't a warm, fuzzy holiday film. It's called Fat Man, and it's a dark action comedy about a, quote, rowdy, unorthodox Santa whose business is in decline. Meanwhile, a 12-year-old kid named Billy has hired a hitman to kill Santa after getting coal in his stocking. I don't get it.
Is Santa an anti-Semite in this movie?
I'm not sure, but we'll have to wait and see about Mel Gibson doing that.
Hanukkah toys.
There seems to be never any real original idea in Hollywood. Bad Santa was made a few years back.
News.
Yes, no, that's not what I'm doing. Thank you. Most people don't know this, but it's not very easy to recycle plastic. And virtually all of it ends up in landfills or in the ocean sooner or later. Only about 9% of plastic waste gets recycled. And even under perfect conditions, you can only recycle it 7 to 9 times. I did not know that.
Wow.
I thought you could recycle it as many times as you want. Then it's trash. Why this might be huge news. A team of researchers with the Department of Energy just created a new type of plastic that can be recycled an infinite number of times. A team of researchers did this. It's called PDK plastic, and it's a lot cheaper and easier to recycle than other types. The fibers in normal plastic, blah, 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 blah. You can recycle it. That's the thing. It dissolves back into its original state and can be used over and over again infinitely. That'll be better for the planet. Mike, there it is. Thank you.
You know what we've moved to here in D.C.? And it hit me like a... And it's one of these things you know is coming, but you're like, oh, no, this is the worst.
What?
And you PETA people and your Greenpeace people, you can write your letters to me. The paper straws.
Ah. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Sorry, I am with you. I shouldn't be. I sound like a rube, but, oh, the paper straws. Oh, my God.
But
no.
We never have what is the glory of putting a big straw that's plastic.
Oh, and you know that the McDonald's straw is a little bigger, too. It's the best straw out there.
Into a big gulp.
Oh, the best.
And saying, oh, what a refreshing drink. Wait a second. There's something on my lip. It's paper.
Ugh.
It's not cool. The black, fat, Iguana Mia margarita straws are the best in the world.
Are they still plastic?
They're still plastic, God love it.
They're running under the radar, Mike.
It's Florida. Yeah. They can scream
what they want.
Rob, you get down to the beach, you get the paper straws everywhere.
I don't want the straw on the turtle's nostril.
Yeah,
I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
I do.
No, no.
But tell me,
bring it.
tell me to pay 5 cents for that straw.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I'll do that.
How about the biodegradable plastic? You know,
yes.
that you can recycle infinitely. Yeah. That's good. I like that.
Maddie's trying to order steel straws for here at podcast. I don't want steel straws.
No, I want them plastic.
Always on the wrong side of right.
There you go. We're rubes. According to a new study, the amount of alcohol people all over the world are drinking, speaking of straws, has skyrocketed over the past decades.
Yes.
And it just keeps going up. Here are the stats. We're drinking 70% more alcohol than we were in 1990, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah!
That's awesome. Adults across the world drank a total of 9.4 billion gallons of pure alcohol in 2017. That averages out to 1.7 gallons of pure alcohol per adult. That means the average adult is having roughly one drink every single day. Hello.
Hi there.
And when you think of all the people out there who don't drink, well, people who do are making up for them in that average. And things are projected to keep on going. By 2030, it's projected that about a quarter of adults in the world will binge drink at least once a month. What a sad
keep on trucking.
I like that. And they'll drink it through paper straws.
Yes, paper straws. Thank you very much, Rob. Speedwagon. And now a little something. Yesterday it was Punta Gordo, as Jimmy would say, north of
Gordo.
Where I live. Today, we go down to Naples, Florida, a little south of where I live. I watched this on my local news last night.
Ooh.
A Naples man was arrested after several witnesses said they saw him naked and pleasuring himself in public. I saw the pixelated picture of this guy. Deputies arrested 52-year-old Jamie Whiting Monday night. Witness Oscar Campos said, "I've never seen anything like that. I didn't expect it. It's not okay." He was probably there for about like half an hour. He stayed there even though there were people passing by and everything. He continues, "There was a lady who passed by right there with her kids. She stopped and put her hands over their eyes so he wouldn't see. So they wouldn't see him.
Yeah.
He looked over and he didn't even try to cover himself or anything. When deputies arrived in their patrol vehicle, Whiting took off running down an alley and jumped into a ditch. Deputies were quick to catch him and put him into the squad car. According to Whiting's arrest report, he told deputies he was just going for a walk and normally does this.
Oh,
okie dokie. Whiting is a convicted felon, by the way. He now faces a misdemeanor charge. As of Tuesday night, he remains in custody. And all I have to say is, what a whack job. That's why they do it. See, Florida releases all these wackadoodles. Wackadoodle. Wackadoodle.
You know, whiting can be a verb.
Ooh.
Oh, that's gross. That's so Tony, gross.
Tony, why do you make these jokes?
You made it about the substance. That's what he does. I will take a break. You love jizz. Anyway. Sorry, I finally had to say it. Does he not? It's always about that. Yeah. Gross. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. Your audio wall.
Alexa, who are the interns on the Mike O'Mara Show?
I don't understand what you mean by interns.
You know, the people behind the scenes.
I don't know what you mean.
Come on, the ones who write all the promos, the people who do all the real work.
Did you mean to search for Matt Pony Boy Bloom?
What? No, he's not an intern.
Now searching for Pony Boy Bloom on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Alexa, cancel. Search people who work hard on TMOS.
Now searching for Maddie Masiello.
No!
Remember, I can play the Mike O'Mara Show for you today and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
I love that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, look out!
Oh, we're back, baby. That's right. If you weren't listening earlier this week, got to tell you right now, especially if you're a Bonus Show subscriber, we got about 50, 60 tickets left right now. We're back in fabulous Las Vegas. Our listeners had such a great weekend last year, and we did too. So we're back in Vegas for the TMOS 10th anniversary party. Friday, November 15th, 8 p.m., we're going to be at the Council Chambers Theater in the Zappos corporate headquarters in downtown Las Vegas. We return to Sin City for our 10th anniversary spectacular. Advanced ticket sales are continuing for Bonus Show subscribers. They are available now, right now, and you really better hurry. Tickets are a few, and they are a few left. Let me do that again. Mm-hmm. There are a few tickets left. That's what I wanted to say. It's just music. Getting me confused. Tickets for the general public go on sale tomorrow. Listen to this show for your update on that. That'll be at MikeO'MaraShow.com. But just know this, there are surprises around every corner, so stay tuned. Celebrate our 10th anniversary with our best live show ever, the TMOS 10th anniversary party brought to you by Zappos. A weekend you'll never forget if you can only remember it. Let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewak right now and the audio vault for today. Thank you,
Rob. Mike, do you ever take the Tamiami Highway over to Tampa and see a gentleman's club called Icon?
Tamiami Trail.
Tamiami Trail, forgive me.
And dude, what do you ask me if I do?
If you go there to Tampa to check out a gentleman's club called Icon.
Never been to Icon. Been to a couple of them up there, but never been to Icon.
It used to be an Icon's in Fairfax.
Well, Icon
really?
Had a... Icon-
well, it was just a sports bar, you know.
I was going to say, probably not total nudity.
No.
At the sports bar.
No, tassels and...
Tassels and whatnot.
Pasty.
They had an interesting promotion there at Icon yesterday. They were handing out free hepatitis A vaccinations.
Ew!
Because there was an infected person working in their kitchen last month.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So anyone who had consumed...
Don't eat the steak at the strip club.
Oh, God.
I want my beef rare.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That is
See, I wouldn't even have done that one.
I know. I understand.
But anyway, just know that if you... If you went to Icon and had a delicious burger or something to drink, you may want to get yourself checked out for Hep A.
Icon Gentlemen's Club is closed right now, but the Pasco County Health Department is actually here right now. They are offering free vaccines to those who might have been exposed. The health department says that a person who worked with food at Icon tested positive for Hep A, and they are recommending anyone who ate or drank here between April 15th and May 1st should get vaccinated. They are actually hosting an event here right now where staff, customers, even the dancers can get free vaccines.
The dancers.
Don't stay away. You might have Hep A.
That's right.
Man, oh man. Wow.
So just keep that in mind if you're on the Tamiami Trail.
Okay, I feel sick.
I want to let you know before I play this tape, the Chinese girl is okay.
Okay.
She escaped with just a few cuts and bruises, but she is a what do you call them? A YouTube influencer?
Yes.
Yeah. She was challenged to eat a live octopus.
Oh, wow.
And when she did, she was not aware that the live octopus would latch onto her face and not let go. And so,
now,
if you've ever wondered,
live octopus in certain Asian cultures is a delicacy, right?
Sure, sure. But I think that when they eat it, they probably don't pick up the whole thing and just put it to their face and eat it like an apple.
Yeah.
And anyway, if you ever want to know what it sounds like when a young Chinese lady tries to eat a live octopus, it sounds like this.
Terrifying, Mike. Terrifying.
It's really bad. She's okay.
Duh.
You see, they have suckers.
Yeah, well, you know, you're trying
They'll
to
fight
kill
back.
It.
They do
fight
back.
Back. I'm for the octopus in that situation.
I'm for the
Come
octopus,
on.
Mike.
Really? Well, no, really. She's trying to chew it, eat it alive, and the octopus fights back. Screw that.
So,
right?
Are you?
I had a friend who used to call his wife an octopus. Said that every moment. He's
wow.
After.
Really? Yeah.
His
probably
wallet.
Said that.
His
probably
sanity,
called her that when he was out with you alone.
Yes. He said, never get married. They turn into octopus.
He also escaped with cuts and bruises. Oscar's
there
friend.
You go.
Okay.
I'll be looking at that video after the show.
I do love.
Yeah, hepatitis A.
I love when Arnold Schwarzenegger puts stuff up on the Instagram. Okay. And yesterday he put up a recipe for a protein shake for after he works out with a secret ingredient.
I just came home from my workout. So now I do what I always do. I make a little protein drink. I take cherry juice. We slice up a little banana. Go and take the whey protein. How do you get the protein as quick as possible into the bloodstream? You're right. A little schnapps.
Pot of schnapps.
From Austria. And you pour it in. Not too much. This is going to be fantastic.
This is fantastic.
And now Arnold has a big white Papa Smurf-like beard. So you have to imagine that. Let's close with this. I love when Jimmy Kimmel does his Man on the Street segments.
Right.
And he had a headline that says that global warming or climate change could threaten the human race, which, as you know, humans are Homo sapiens, right?
Yes.
So he went out to get gauge the opinion of the public on the danger for Homo sapiens.
Are the Homo sapiens worth saving? What's your take?
We have to find a way to live with the Homo sapiens in a way where, you know, they don't affect us, we won't affect them, kind of like in a separation type of way.
I don't know what a Homo sapien is. If they're going extinct, that's very sad, but at the end of the day, I don't care.
Have you ever seen a Homo sapien?
At the zoo.
Describe it.
Furry.
Yep.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
Gorilla looking. He was picking his whatchadilly.
I've never seen one do that.
Well, I did.
Whatchadilly.
Yeah, picking his whatchadilly. And that's what you can see at the zoo. That's your magic audio vault, everybody. Have a great Thursday.
All right. Hey, listen, for those of you in the general public, non-bonus show subscribers, you want to listen tomorrow. We got big news tomorrow, too. So be aware of that. We'll have an announcement on tomorrow's show. They go on sale for the general public at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So bonus show subscribers, if you haven't gotten yours yet, please do it today. Another show in the can. Please support our bonus show. We appreciate that. And we'll be back with another brand new show tomorrow for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day. The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
A-minus.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I have a sentimental weakness for my children, and I spoil them, as you can see. They talk when they should listen.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.